All right. Remember, Brother Crane, if you would there, you're going to have to put up with me or somebody the next couple of weeks. So I don't know whether that's good or bad, but we'll try and get through anyways. There, we're going to look at a couple of characters in Scripture this morning, and just it's a little different than I normally try, but we're going to see what happens this morning anyways. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his finished work on Calvary's cross. And Father, we do pray for Brother Ken and Lynn as they're traveling for safety in the vehicle. Let it run well. We think of Brother Randy as he's traveling also, that you would give him safety, a lot of miles before them. And Father, we ask that you'd be pleased to meet with us this morning. Help me to be clear and understandable in my thoughts this morning. And we just thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. One of these days, some of us are going to have to recognize they're getting old. And to play a game of football with these young guys is rough. But I don't feel too bad this morning. I get a few aches and pains. I did, Brother Steve, I don't know whether he was there anyways. I took two diggers yesterday, one in the middle of the road. And but praise the Lord, we're able to do it. Forrest, I think Brother John, he got sat on pretty good yesterday. It was fun. It just reminds me I'm not as young as I used to be. Ain't it right, Jeremy? So, but we thank the Lord for that. First one, character we want to look at, and I don't know whether I'd call him a character or not, is God. We need to recognize some things. This is what we're going to do, is we're going to look up to something that affects every one of us this morning there. First of all, let's turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. A familiar passage here. But we'll read just a few verses. John chapter 1, and beginning in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Verse number 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Remember that there, the light of men. "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of that light, of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light," that is John, "but was sent to bear witness of that light. And this light is the Lord Jesus Christ," that's God, "that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not." We saw that yesterday in the parade, didn't we? God was the light, but you could see the darkness in so many faces. There were some young people that was mocking us for being out there yesterday. There's darkness there. But the Lord Jesus Christ, God, is the light. Let's turn to chapter 8. So we need to remember this about the light here. John chapter 8, verse number 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Okay, so remember that. God is the light in this dark world. And so God is the light. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the light." No, the life. Isn't that what? Is it life or light? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the..." I'm telling you, folks, don't get old, please. First thing goes your memory. Jesus said unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Psalm chapter 27. Psalm 27. And we'll come back to this passage a little bit later on. And verse number 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So God is the light. God is all knowledge. He knows our needs. God knows what is before us. You see, folks, we have a problem because we are in this moment. We can't see what the next moment is going to bring. We are in this moment. We can see, or we've come through yesterday. We know what happened then, but we're in this moment. We can't do anything about tomorrow. We can't do anything about yesterday. It's done. But God knows yesterday. God knows tomorrow. God knows eternity. He's all knowledge. And all we are is in this very moment. God is everywhere present. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient, which means all knowledge. He's all present. He's everywhere present. He's omnipresent. I'm telling you, folks, that football game just teared me up yesterday. I'm getting too old for that. It was fun. Anyways, he's everywhere present. If I'm in Texas in the truck, God is there with me. God is there to protect me. You're up here, the cranes are in Maine or wherever they're at, not Maine, Massachusetts. God is there. God is everywhere. God is all-powerful. There's nothing will happen that God does not allow in your life and my life. Nothing will happen to you or to me that God does not allow. He's all-powerful. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse number 13. Ephesians 3, verse number 13, it says, "Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye may, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height." You see, God is, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, he's omnipotent, he's all of these things. And folks, we are in a world that knows height and length and width. But here we see four, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. God is all of those things. God is able to take care of you and I. He has promised to take care of us and supply our needs, no matter what takes place. Folks, we may have some very difficult times ahead of us, but God is able to take care of our needs. But there's a stipulation that comes with that. He wants you and I to be faithful to him. If we're faithful to him, he's going to be faithful in us and supplying us with the needs that we need in life. We need to be faithful to him. Not only is there God, which is the light, remember that, the light, but God made man in his image. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 26. Genesis chapter 2, and God said, "Let us," there's a indication there of a trinity, "let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So mankind is created in God's image. We have an eternal soul. Did God look like me? I hope not. I hope not. We have an eternal soul, aren't we? God is eternal. And that eternal soul starts at conception. I don't care what a doctor says, what a scientist might say. Eternal life begins at conception. And so we are an eternal soul. Not only is man an eternal soul, but man is a depraved individual. Here in Genesis chapter 3, we could go down through there and we can see where man sinned in the garden. He went against God's law. So he was a depraved. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Nobody that is born, that is conceived in this world is without a sin nature. That's why Jesus Christ had to go to the cross and pay our sin debt for us. Man, because of his sin condition, goes through many things in life. Because of sin, man goes through many things. Physical conditions. We can see it in the world today. Just the last couple of days, this deal with the chickens out in Iowa or something like that, that salmonella, or whatever it's called there, is running rampant. Different things. Man, because of their sin, circumstances will come into their life. And let's turn to Job chapter 36. And thinking of this here, I thought of my life. I thought of different things that has happened in my life. And I can see in my life where things could have been much different if I would have just trusted God. Job chapter 36, and this verse here, just one day, just jumped right off on the page like you hear so many people saying. Verse number 32, it says, with clouds he covereth the light, and commandeth it not to shine by the cloud that cometh betwixt. What is the light? What did we see? God is the light. He says, I am the light. God is the light. But as man, once in a while in life, a cloud comes between that light. And what does it do to us? It kind of dims. It's been nice to have clouds out a little bit in all this heat when the sun's out, because it kind of cools it down a little bit. But I'm talking about circumstances in our lives. Folks, not a one here is exempt from that, having circumstances. Maybe young people, you may have not went through any circumstances or any tribulations in your life, but hang on, they are coming. You may lose a parent. You may lose a dad that was so very close to you. You may lose a mother that was so very close to you. You may lose a child that was so very close to you. You may lose your health. You may have extreme financial difficulties. That cloud comes between you and God. As a 10-year-old boy, there was a cloud that came between me and God. I praise God that it's either 9 or 10, my father, and you've heard me before, sat me down on the arm of a green chair in the living room and led me to Christ. The greatest day in my life. But it wasn't long after that a cloud moved in my life between me and the light, between me and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that cloud did something to me as a young Christian. Not because God allowed that cloud to come into my life, because I reacted incorrectly to that cloud. I did not respond to that cloud the way God wanted me to respond. I do not know what cloud may come into your life. You may be struggling right now. I know some are struggling with physical needs. That's a cloud that's come between you and the light. It's difficult to see the sun when the clouds are out. Sometimes they're thick enough where you can't see it. But folks, it's still there. The light is still there. Even though we're going through circumstances in our life, the light is still there. But that cloud that came into my life nearly destroyed me as a young person. And you have to be careful that it does not destroy you. You see, because I couldn't see the light, there was darkness. And I went off and I did things that I shouldn't have done as a boy growing up. Didn't have the leadership, for one thing. Didn't have a good fundamental church to go to, another thing. But that cloud that came into my life nearly destroyed me. For almost 15 years, that cloud. Now, folks, let me get something straight. God allows this cloud to come into our life. God wants us to keep an eye on Him. God, we will remove that cloud. But in my life, for almost 15 years, I held on to that cloud. I wouldn't let God remove that cloud out of my life. For nearly 15 years, I asked God, why? Why? Why, God, did you take my dad? You see, it was October of that year, the first time as a 10-year-old boy, and I appreciate Jeremy taking his boys out hunting. First time that I was able to go hunting with my dad, we went up to Bogle Center. In October, in November, he was gone. You see, that cloud came in. I would not let that cloud go, and I kept asking God why as a young person. And I grew, and I kept asking why. It wasn't until after I got out of the military and got into a good fundamental church and got with some influence of some godly people that I quit asking why and asked God, what do you want me to learn from that? See, it's been since then that I have been able to encourage and help others that have gone through the same thing that I went through as a young boy. That cloud nearly destroyed my life as a young person. What about your life? Where none of us are exempt from that. And that's not the only thing I went through, but since then I've been able to recognize that cloud and look beyond that cloud to the light that was there. And that light helped me to go through that difficult time. I've struggled with financial problems. Probably everyone here has. I've had some physical problems, not a lot. God has protected me a lot of times from that. I've had accidents with trucks. But that cloud, what are we going to do with that cloud? We need to learn in whatsoever state we are in to be content. Let's turn to that verse, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We need to learn this. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You see, that light is still there. That cloud may come across and may dim the light, but the light is still there. We may have some stormy days and we can't see the sun, but the light is still there. I think of the shoals up there in Iceland, Greenland, wherever they're at, Greenland. And how he has said that the folks, they get discouraged when the sun doesn't shine. You see, when that cloud comes in our lives, we got to be careful. Because when discouragement sets in, the sky's the limit, if you would, in our lives. We need to be content with whatever state we are in. It is easy, no, but we are commanded to be content in whatever state God allows us to go through. Is it easy? No. It's hard. It's difficult. Sometimes we don't understand. But we need to keep on doing what God wants us to do. A cloud came into my life as a boy, and it nearly ruined my life for almost 15 years. I was a young Christian. I didn't know why it happened. There was a mother and five children left without a sole supporter. My mother didn't work outside the home. And as a 10-year-old boy, I couldn't understand why God would do that. And instead of looking around the cloud for years, I just, why? Don't do that in your life. All I knew was that something happened that I could not explain in my life. You may be in that same boat today, but look to the light. We need to be careful when clouds come in our lives that we do not keep the cloud between us and God longer than God allows it. It is a very dangerous position to be in when we hinder that. You see, we have the scripture to show us how to respond to that. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 27. The greatest example that is left for us, for an individual where a cloud come between him, if you would. And this one here, it's, we could explain, yeah, it can be a cloud here. This is a story of the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. But chapter 27 of Matthew, in verse number 47, and some of them that stood there when they heard that said, no, that's the wrong verse. 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, taking your and my sin debt upon him, and God having to turn his back on him. Don't you think that was a cloud? And I realize that Jesus Christ is God. But leaving the example here, that was God turned his back on his son. But what did he do? He completed what God called him to do in that he died, he was buried, and he rose again for you and for me. He didn't quit, folks. The scripture says he could have called legions of angels to deliver him, but he didn't. He completed. Even though there was a time that God turned his back on him because he had taken our sin debt upon himself. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Another example. And there's different examples here we can see in Scripture. What about the prodigal son's father? He His son came to him. God, or Dad, give me my inheritance now. I want it now. I know you're not gone, but give it to me anyways. And his son left. And he got in all kinds of things that he ought not have gotten into. Don't you think that was a cloud over his father's, that came between his father and the light? That was a cloud that came into his life. But he never failed to pray for his son. He never failed to think about his son and that one day he would come back. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 7. Paul here. He said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Now, don't you realize here that Paul had a physical problem? This was a cloud that came into his life. Most people think maybe it was his eyes. I don't know. Just different passages indicate that. "A thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon." See, folks, he looked around that cloud, and he knew, and he could see that the Son, God, was still there. See, this is an example that God has left for you and for me. He had a cloud come into his life. But he knew, he could see around that, looking to Christ. Verse number 10, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." He recognized that God was the only help in his life. God was the only help. "I am become a fool in glory. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds." So Paul, we could see that he had a cloud that came into his life. But he looked around the cloud, and he saw the light. And he recognized that there was help. We ought not to let clouds in our lives slow us down for Christ. So often in churches, Christians, yes, they've been Christians for years and years. Something comes into their life. That cloud comes in. And they quit. They quit going to church. They quit tithing. They quit telling people about Christ. They quit. We need to keep on serving God no matter what. Is it easy? Everyone here has to shake their head no. It is not easy when you go through struggles to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need to keep on, keeping on. We can see different clouds in Scripture. In Exodus chapter 16, verse number 10, we see glory appear in the clouds. I wanted to read these. We don't have time, but these are different verses in there. In Exodus chapter 34 and verse number 5, the Lord descended in a cloud. Remember over with the tabernacle, when the priests went in, then God came in a cloud. Psalm chapter 68, verse 34, his strength in the clouds. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30, the Son of Man coming in a cloud. It's important, folks, that we have these clouds in our lives, but it's important how we respond to these clouds that are come into our lives. And we need to respond correctly. The Son of Man coming in a cloud, Matthew 24. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 9, Christ is received up in a cloud. And in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, one day you and I, if we're alive when the Lord comes back, are going to be caught up in the clouds to be with the Lord forever. In the clouds. We need the clouds. In Revelation chapter 1, verse number 7, He is coming again with clouds. So clouds are needed in our lives. But how are we going to respond to that cloud when it comes between the light of our lives? Clouds are needed. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's turn there. This is a verse here that I learned as a young person. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse number 13, it says, There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Folks, there is absolutely nothing that comes into your life and my life that God does not allow, and He knows that you or I are able to handle it, because He will not give you something that you are not able to handle. You say, you don't know, you haven't been in some of my positions. I'm telling you what God says. If He brings something into your life right here, He'll give you the strength to handle that situation, to go through that situation. But with that cloud, God gives the help we need to continue. He gives us the help. When a cloud comes, don't be as I was. You see, I wouldn't let God remove that cloud. As a young person, without leadership in my home, in our home, without leadership and direction, I went on out into the world. I served the world. But it wasn't until I got out of the service, and it wasn't until a friend that is a friend to this day to me, Brother Bob Snyder, and his encouragement, did I realize that what I went through, God knew I could handle, but I, because of my own self-will, would not allow God to deal with me the way He wanted to. God knows our lives. With God's help, let us not ask why, but let us ask what. God, what do you want me to learn out of this? How do you want me to use this? Is there someone that is that needs my encouragement? I can recall in a cemetery after a funeral, at the whatever you call that when you take the casket and you put it in the committal service. There was one father that lost his son. I was able to go put my arm around him and give him a word of encouragement that one day you'll see your son again because of what I had been through. But I nearly destroyed it. Let's turn back to Psalm chapter 27 and we'll close with this. I know some here are going through some very difficult times. There's a cloud that has come in your life. But that light is still there. Paul looked around that light. The Lord Jesus Christ hanging on a cross saw the light there. Psalm chapter 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemy and my foes, come upon me to eat upon my flesh, they stumble and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his salvation. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. If you're going through struggles, the light is still there. He has not moved. Turn to him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you are still there. No matter when struggles come into our lives or whatever may take place, God, you're still there. Help us, even through tough times, to be faithful to you. God, we just thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. About 10 minutes and we'll start the next service.